Now, what happens to a person's neshama after 120 years in this world? Because we know the neshama is forever. Different things can happen to it. I'm going to tell you a very, very interesting story. I want you to listen to it. One time, a man passed away. His neshama went up to the Beis Din Shel Maila, to the court in the Himmel, and he has to get judged to see what's going to be with his neshama. The judges by the court, they ask all the malachim that saw this man doing mitzvahs, come and tell about the mitzvahs, and we'll see if he can go to Gan Eden. And many malachim came, and they said how the man learned Torah, and he davened, and he helped people, and he had mitzvahs. And the judges listened to each malach about the mitzvahs that the man did. Well, it looks like this man has a good chance to get to Gan Eden, or to get to Gan Eden right away. And now the judges said, all the malachim that saw this man doing avedis, come and tell us about the avedis. Only one malach came. But the malach said, this man over here was not careful in saying brachas. Many times he was in a big hurry. He took a piece of cake, he ate it, he never said a mezainis. He took an apple, he was in a hurry, he grabbed an apple, he forgot to say, Bairei Pri Yoetz. He took a drink of juice, he was in a hurry, he forgot to say, Shehakol Nihya B'Dvarei. He took some peanuts, he forgot to say, Bairei Pri Hadama. He was not careful in making brachas. Not to mention a bracha achreina. He ate, he forgot to say bar nefashes, or he drank, or he forgot to say alamechya. This man was not careful in food and in brachas. And as we know, in every food there's a spark from Hashem, a halakha spark from Hashem. And we have to make this spark go back up to Hashem. Because if we don't make it go up, it goes down to the Yetzirah, and it gives koyach to the Yetzirah. How do we let that spark out of the food? First of all, the food has to be kosher food. After it's kosher food, we have to make a bracha in that food. And we have to eat that food, l'shem shemayim, for Hashem, that we should have koyach to serve Hashem, to learn in daven. And we have to make a bracha achreina, and thank Hashem for the food. And then we go afterwards and we do good things for Hashem. We learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Then the food is lifted up to Hashem like a korban. And the spark goes up to Hashem. And it gives koyach to the whole side of Kedusha and Halakhit. But if Chas V'Shalom we do not make a bracha and we just eat the food, the spark is not released to Hashem. And it feeds the other side, not the side of Halakhit. And so the Malach said these things, and the judges had a meeting. Oh, what can we do? To go to Gan Eden, it can't. Look at the Avedis that it has. To go Chas V'Shalom to Gehenim, it can't. Look at the mitzvahs that it has. What should we do? Not to Gan Eden right away, anyway. And not to Gehenim. What are we going to do? Well, the Beis Din decided the neshama has to come down into the world again for a tikkun. To fix the... A tikkun means a fixing. And sometimes the neshama comes back only to fix one thing, then it's able to go into Gan Eden. But before it's fixed, it cannot go to Gan Eden. The neshama has to be very halik and very perfect before it's able to go into Gan Eden. That's why there's such a thing as a Gehenim, or there's such a thing as coming down back into this world for a tikkun, in order the neshama should be ready for Gan Eden. In the end, of course, like we learned, every yid has a chelik in Olam Haba. Every yid goes to Gan Eden. Every yid goes to Gan Eden and gets his reward in Gan Eden and has Olam Haba. But it has to either be fixed or it has to be sometimes cleansed, made clean. And this particular neshama had to have a tikkun to come back in this world, as we're going to see. And this is what they decided. This neshama is going to come back into this world and to have to be a piece of food or a drink. The neshama is going to be in a piece of food or a drink, and over there is going to be the neshama. Just like I told you, there's a spark of halakhite, a spark from Hashem inside of everything. This neshama is going to be that spark. And if a yid, if a Jew, is going to make a bracha on that food or that drink, the neshama will go out from the food and be lifted up into Gan Eden. But if Chas v'Shalom, the Jew, will not make a bracha on that food, or of course, if a person that's not Jewish is going to eat it and will not make a blessing, not make a bracha, then the neshama will not be able to get into Gan Eden. This was the decision and the judgment on that neshama. And so, the neshama came back into the world. The neshama comes down into the world. They put it into a field. And in that field was growing barley. Like those little white things that mommy could put into a cholent or a soup. It's a little plant called barley. And the barleys grow in the plant, like little pieces inside of the plant. The neshama went into one of those barleys. And inside of that barley is a neshama of this man. And he looks around. Oh, look. Oh, I'm in a field. Look at this. I'm in a plant. He looks down. He sees the ground. He looks up. He sees the sky. The wind blows and he starts to go back and forth. I wonder what's going to happen to me in this barley here. All of a sudden, he sees a farmer with a big knife. And the farmer is chopping down the barley. Whoosh, bang! Chopped them down and he falls down in the ground. Oi! Oi! The barley hit the ground. Now he's lying on the ground. And the farmer is picking up the barley and he's putting it into a bag. But certain barleys fall down. And there was a squirrel that was running around in the field eating up barleys. Oh no, if I get left here, if I don't get lifted up and put in the bag, if I'm left on the ground, a squirrel is going to come. A squirrel doesn't make a bracha. If a squirrel is going to eat me up, I'm finished. And the squirrel was coming closer. He saw those squirrel teeth. And the squirrel was looking at him. Ooh, hey, look, a barley. But the farmer picked up that plant that he was on and he got put in the bag. Close call. Now he's inside of the bag of barleys with other barleys. It's dark in there. But at least he knows he's safe, at least for a while. And he feels himself now getting schlepped on the farmer's shoulder. And all of a sudden he feels himself getting thrown through the air. And he lands down. Bang! All of a sudden he hears a sound. Oi, hey, I must be on a truck. It was a truck starting. And then he feels himself now bumping down a road. It must be the truck is taking these bags of barley somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're going for a ride. Well, it was pretty good, you know, bouncing up and down with all the other barleys in that, that bag. It was dark, but it was fun, bouncing up and down. It wasn't too hard, wasn't too soft. They go for a while. All of a sudden, the truck stops. And now, he hears the sound of footsteps. And he hears men, and they're unloading the bags off of the truck. They're throwing the bags off of the truck. And now, he doesn't know where he is. He knows he's somewhere else. The truck pulls off. Then he feels himself now getting wheeled on some kind of a cart. Then he stops. All of a sudden, he sees these hands way up on top of the bag. They're opening up the bag. And he's lifted up in the air, and he's spilled and dumped out of the bag, and he lands now in a big pile of other barleys, and he's in this gigantic, gigantic big pot. A huge pot. Looks like he's going to be in a swimming pool, but it's round. And all of a sudden, this water starts falling on his head. It's squirting out of like a thing, like a hose, and it's filling up the pot, and the barleys, they start to swim around. Hey, this is fun. Hey, we're going swimming. Not bad. Not bad. The barleys are swimming around in this thing. And all of a sudden, there's other stuff that's dumped over there with the barleys. Actually, I left that apart. Because the barleys grow inside of a plant which has different parts. So the first thing they did was they chopped all the other stuff that wasn't the barleys. The stems and the leaves, they took that off. And just the barleys, the little white parts, got dumped into this big pot, this big thing. And he's swimming around, floating around. And there's other stuff that's put in there. He doesn't know what's happening. But after a long time, the white part of the barley, like the shell of the barley, just disappeared. And he now was floating around in the water. In other words, this neshama, this spark, is now only a part of the water that came out of the barley. And after a while, it starts to tickle. There's these little bubbles everywhere, and it tickles. He's laughing his head off. He doesn't have a head, but he's laughing. It's so ticklish. And he's floating around in this water stuff, and it turns brown, and he smells, hey, I know what it is. This is beer. This is a beer factory. Beer, part of what goes into beer is barley. And this big vat, this big kind of a like big pot, they're making the barleys into beer. And the fizzy feeling is the little bubbles in beer. Hey, I'm going to be a beer. I am beer. He's beer. He's floating around in beer. And the shama floating around in a vat of beer. Well, it tickled, it was fun. And now what? All of a sudden, he feels himself getting schlepped into a hole. He goes to the hole, and he's now traveling down this hole. And he sees that he's in a pipe. It's like a glass pipe. And as he's traveling in the glass pipe, he could see the factory. He sees workers over there. He sees boxes and machines. And it was fun. He goes it's like a ride. He's floating and fizzing and getting tickled. And he goes down this pipe until finally he goes down all the way through a faucet. And he finds himself, he's inside of a bottle of beer. He looks around, he's in a bottle. They put a cap on it. There's a label on there. And now he's in a bottle of beer. A lady takes the bottle of beer from a conveyor belt kind of a thing, and she puts it down to a box. Now he's a bottle of beer in a box of beer, together with other bottles of beer. What's going to happen to him? We will see as the story goes on. Now a man comes. He lifts. Now a man comes and he lifts the box of bottles and he puts it now on a truck. The truck is full of beer. Cases and cases and boxes of beer. He closes the truck. And the man inside the bottle of the beer, even though it's dark in there, but of course he feels the truck is going, he hears the motor, and they're bouncing up and down. He figures, he must be going to the city to go into stores. That's probably what we're doing. After a while, the truck stops, the door opens, he looks out, because from his box, there were holes and he could see outside. And outside he sees in the street a lot of goyim. And the goyim are drinking beer. And they're talking. And there's music playing. And it's such a neighborhood that a lot of goyim are hanging around on the street corners. And there's a store. The store owner comes out and he says, "Hey, give me about 4 cases of beer. 4 cases of beer. Come into my store. Bring it." Uh-oh. Do I want to get put in this store? in this neighborhood, somebody's going to buy me and make a bracha on me? Remember, the whole thing of this man being in this beer is if a yid will come and make a bracha on the beer, his neshama will go to Gan Eden. Oh, this is not the neighborhood for a Jew to go and buy a bottle of beer and make a shakol. Oh no, I hope they don't pick my box. And they're reaching for the boxes. Oh, they pulled out four other boxes. His box did not get taken down. Oh, was he thankful. They closed the door and the truck went on. They made a few more stops also in neighborhoods that the man could recognize were not at all Jewish neighborhoods. But they did not take down his box. Finally, the truck stopped in front of a store. And look what it said on the store. Shomer Shabbos Market. A market in a Jewish neighborhood. Oh boy, look. I hope I get in this store. And the man came out. And he looked like a Yiddish man, wearing a white apron. Oh yes, I would like six cases of beer, please. Put them right into the refrigerator. And sure enough, his case with the bottle that he was in was taken down off the truck. Oh, he was so happy. They put him into the refrigerator. Started getting cold. Ooh, it's cold in here. And he was right up in front in the glass refrigerator, right next to the counter where people go to buy things. And he could see everything. Oh, look at the store. Look, there's kosher candies over there. Look, there's a box of challahs. It must be Erev Shabbos. That looks like a store on an Erev Shabbos with a lot of challahs. Look, there's cakes. Oh boy. What a nice place to be. I hope that I get a Jew to take me and make a shakol on me and drink me up and I go to Gan Eden. And all of a sudden, I came into the store, a goy carrying a big radio, blasting music. The store man says, could you please turn that off? After all, you know, you're in a store with customers. Okay, give me a bottle of beer. A bottle of beer? Oh no, it's a Jewish store, but a guy came in and he wants a bottle of beer. Oh no, what's going to happen? And the Yiddish man from the store opens the glass case and he takes the bottle of beer. He reaches right next to the one that the man is in, a different one, and he takes that out. And he gives it to the guy. Oh, boy. That was a close one. Oh, no. That was too close. I'm so nervous. And he now is back, of course. I mean, still in that glass case, waiting to see who comes in to that store. As the neshama is waiting in the bottle of beer, looking to see who's going to come in next, all of a sudden, a man came in, and the store man and a few other customers, they said, oh, Reb Chaim, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, we heard that your wife had a baby boy, Mazel Tov. Reb Chaim says, yeah, thank you very much. We're so excited. Tonight we're making a Shalom Zachar. So I will have to buy a lot of things for the Shalom Zachar. Cakes, and cookies, and beer. All of a sudden, the neshama in the beer hears beer. Ooh, Shalom Zachar. Ooh, oh, a Yiddish Simcha. Oh, I'm so excited. A Yiddish Simcha, Yidden coming to a Shalom Zachar and making brachas on the food. Oh boy, I hope they take me down from here and I get to go to the Shalom Zachar. And as they're packing up the big order for the Shalom Zachar, Reb Chaim says to the store man, please give me three cases of beer for the Shalom Zachar. Oh, sure, we just got a whole shipment of beer in. And the store man opens up the glass doors of the refrigerator case, and he takes out three cases. And the neshama of the man inside the bottle of beer was in the three cases of beer that was taken down. In fact, he was taken down first. Oh, a Shalom Zachar. Oh, I can hardly wait tonight, a Shalom Zachar. Maybe tonight I get to go to Gan Eden. Oh, I hope so. And Reb Chaim took now the whole order. It was carried to his car. And the beer and all the other things, the challahs, the beer was right next to the challahs. Oh, that was fun. Bouncing up and down in the car next to the challahs and the bilkalach, bouncing bilkalach over there and jumping challahs and a few cakes over here. Oh, that was a fun ride. Finally, they get home to Reb Chaim's house, and Reb Chaim's friends and a few of his older children, they unload the car and they put the things away ready for the Shalom Zachar, and they put the beer into the refrigerator in the kitchen. Oh, it's pretty cold in this refrigerator, but don't worry. Tonight's Shabbos, Shalom Zachar, it's going to be fine. And sure enough, that night, during the Shabbos meal, the bottle of beer, the man inside the bottle of beer was very excited. He heard people coming for the Shalom Zachar from the kitchen. He could hear into the dining room. He could hear everything that's going on. He heard a big crowd of people, and they said, "Come, bring out the beer. It's a hot night. Bring out the beer. Oh, this is my chance. I wonder who's there by the Shalom Zachar. Doesn't matter. They just have to make shako. I go to Gan Eden." And now they take out bottles of beer to the table, and they put the bottles of beer on the table, and people reach for the bottles of beer if they want beer. And they reached for the bottle that the neshama was inside. They carried them to the table, and they put him down on the table. And at first he looks around, ooh, plates of cake, ooh, bowls of arbis. You know what arbis is? Chickpeas. They have the Shalom Zachar. Cookies and pickles and different kinds of sodas. Oh, what a nice Shalom Zachar. Bowls of nuts and different things, nice things. Candies. And all of a sudden he looks around and he gets very, very surprised. Hey, look over there. It's Reb Peretz. He's a neighbor from my old neighborhood where I used to live when I was alive. I recognize him. What's he doing here? Hey, there's Velvo, another neighbor. And look over there. There's Reb Shmuel. He also davens in my shul. Look, these are people that I know. I recognize them. This must be near my neighborhood. These are my old neighbors. I don't know this Reb Chaim as the Shalom Zachar. Maybe he's some new neighbor that moved in. I never met him. But these are people, so I recognize some of these people. I guess they're friends of this Reb Chaim. They came from my neighborhood. They must be close by. Look. And then all of a sudden he remembers. Reb Chaim, a new neighbor. Oh, I think I remember my son talking about a new Reb Chaim who moved into the neighborhood, but I just never met him. After all, that was before I passed away. I think I remember my son talking about a new neighbor. Maybe this is the Reb Chaim. More neighbors, more old friends came in. And he was still on the table. All of a sudden, the man in the bottle of beer, he sees coming through the door into the dining room his own son. Hey, that's my boy. That's my older son. Hey, that's my oldest son. He came into the diet. He's come to the Shalom Zachar. Look, it's my boy. A big boy, a young man. And he sat down by the table. He said, "Good Shabbos." And he said, "Mazel Tov to Reb Chaim." And now he sits down by the table. Reb Chaim says, "Sit down, take something to eat, and of course have a nice cold beer." Right in front of the place where the son sat down, the father was in the bottle of beer right in front of where the son was. And now the son reaches for the bottle of beer that his father was in. He takes it and he pours it into a cup. And the father goes inside the cup of his own son's beer. And now the father gets afraid. Uh-oh, there's a problem here. Because in the same way, I wasn't careful in making brachas, and that's what I'm doing here in the first place to fix that. I was not careful in teaching my son to be careful to make brachas. Since I myself wasn't careful, I didn't teach my son to be careful. I don't know if he's going to make a bracha on me, because I didn't teach him always to make a bracha on food. I didn't make a big deal out of that. I never really taught it to him properly, because I myself wasn't doing it properly. If my son makes a bracha shakol, I go to Gan Eden. If my son does not make a bracha shakol, I don't go to Gan Eden. It's my own son now. Now, kinelach. What happened to the man inside of the beer? Did the son make the shakol, or he did not make the shakol? Unfortunately, the last page of the book was missing. And I tried to find it everywhere. I couldn't find it. And I asked other people that had the same book, and they said, oh yeah, for some reason, that page from our book also fell out. We also don't know what happened. The main thing is not exactly what happened. The main thing is what we learned from this story. The main thing you learn from this story is, number one, let's see if you could figure it out. I want boys to put up their hand and tell me, what is the main thing, of course, from a Yiddish Maisa? We have to learn something. It's not just Stam a Maisa that we sit back and listen to make us feel good and to make us laugh or to make us to just have something to do. A Yiddish story teaches something in Avodas Hashem. And that's the main point of the story, not to find out what happened. Even without finding out exactly what happened, we can certainly learn the lesson. Now, if you have something to say, raise your hand.
Teach you to always make a bracha.
Okay, good. What else? Anybody else want to say something? Yeshua?
Not only you should teach yourself to make a bracha, you should also teach your kids.
Very good. That was the main thing I also thought. Not only be careful that you yourself should make a bracha, teach your kids. And not only brachas, this goes for everything. If you yourself are doing something very, very strongly and good, then it goes to other people to help them also to do it. It's called a dugma chaya. You're an example of how to do it. If you yourself are not doing it, it's very hard that somebody else should do it. Now there's a question. A person that doesn't evade on purpose, we understand he has to be punished. That's the way the Torah says. But what about a person that by accident, he did something by accident? Oy, I didn't know. I didn't know that it was wrong. Or, I know it's Shabbos, but I forgot that you're not supposed to turn on a light. All of a sudden, I turn on a light. I forgot you're not supposed to do it. Or I forgot it's Shabbos. I did something wrong by accident. Or I was carrying something in my pocket. Oy, I'm carrying. I'm not supposed to carry. It's an accident. This person has to bring a korban to the base of Mikdash when Mashiach comes. And the korban is going to cost money. And this is a kapara because he did something wrong by accident. So, but if I did it by accident, why should I have to do anything to fix it? I did it by accident. This story shows you that if you were very careful, you would not even do something wrong by accident. So if you did something wrong by accident, you have to fix it. It's no excuse. Oh, it was an accident. Because an accident doesn't have to happen if you're more careful. Now listen to this maisa. There was a great chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek and also the Mittler Rebbe before, and his name was Reb Hillel Paracher. There are many stories from Reb Hillel Paracher showing how halik he was and close to Hashem he was. And this is such a maisa. One time Reb Hillel was invited to eat by a family. Usually Reb Hillel never ate by anybody because he was so careful with the food, making sure it was 100% kosher. He did not trust other people and their kashrus. But this particular family, he was eating by this family. It must mean they were very careful with their kashrus. A special family. He trusted them. So that even Reb Hillel is eating there. And they were eating supper, and they were eating chicken. And everybody by the table started to eat. Reb Hillel was sitting there. He took the fork. He took the knife. He cut a piece of chicken. He put it near his mouth. And instead of putting it in his mouth like everybody else was doing, he put it right back down on his plate. Then he lifted it up again. He put it close to his mouth. He starts opening his mouth. He closes his mouth and he puts the chicken back in the plate. Back and forth, up and down a few times. He never put anything in his mouth. After a while, people notice, what's going on over here? He's pretending to eat. He's not a malach. Why isn't he eating the chicken? And the woman of the house, the balabasta, she starts feeling a little bit bad. What, he doesn't trust my kashrus? He doesn't eat in our house? He said he's going to eat here. And the balabas, the man of the house, he starts looking at Reb Hillel. Reb Hillel, why aren't you eating? What's wrong?